gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days.
Hey, welcome to this edition of the Soul Trap, the Academy edition, the Bible Academy edition of the Soul Trap. We're glad that wherever, whenever this broadcast finds you, it finds you in good health, good spirits, and we trust and hope, most importantly, on that good and narrow way. If you have not checked out the Soul Trap, make sure that you do. Go to thesoultrap.com. You can find all of our episodes there. Make sure to go to the YouTube channel, Rumble. You can also find us on Facebook. Like and share, all that good jazz. We want to get the word out about the Soul Trap, and we're glad to have you be a part of this growing phenomenon known as the Soul Trap. Today, we are going to be doing something a little bit different. I have my handy dandy chalkboard, which oftentimes gets used in our church services, but you don't get to see it as much in the Soul Trap, but you do today. The artwork is mine, and you're more than welcome to have a copy of this artwork for a very modest, small fee.
For only $14.99.
We're going to be talking today a little bit about the last days. We're going to be talking about the last days and politics, paranormal activity, and prophecy, all wrapped up in that little phrase, the last days. I suppose there is not a week that goes by when I don't get an email or a phone call or a question. Are we in the last days? How long are the last days going to last? And what is in store for all of us in these last days? The question is, which last days are you talking about? Today we're going to be talking a little bit of doctrine, a little bit of devotion, a little bit of politics, paranormal, prophecy. So whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a longtime listener to the Soul Trap or not, you're going to find that this is very, very interesting. If you are a Bible believer, you already have a leg up on others that might not be a Bible believer but are watching. If you're not a Christian, if you don't believe the Bible, I hope that you'll walk away with this one overarching knowledge. And that is that the Word of God has the answers to life. There are a lot of different people that have opinions, but you find absolute truth in the King James Bible, and we want to show you that a little bit today. So come with me on a journey for the next little bit as we discuss this topic of the last days. So, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I get asked all the time, are we living in the last days? The question is, which last days are we talking about? The answer is yes, we are, but which last days? Last days here? The last days here on the timeline? The last days right here? Or the last days right there? Now, I'll come back to that in just a moment and we'll walk you through the board, but let's talk for just a moment about the concept of the last days. The end of all things is what we're getting at. And I think the answer, the truth of the matter is, the answer to the question is we all feel that we are in at least some kind of last days. I mean, when you look on the news, it's unbelievable to see what's going on. One of the things that's very fascinating is that we see a massive uptick in UFO and paranormal activity in the sky. Of course, many of you know that when God recreated this earth in Genesis chapter number 1, we find that the only time God says that it was not good is when he created the atmosphere, the firmament. The reason is because the Bible says Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. And the fact of the matter is, the reality is that we see these UFO uptick phenomenon, and I believe it has a direct correlation to the powers of darkness. It's happening at breakneck speed, and we're going to see in just a few minutes that that is one of the markers of where we are on the timeline. So we see we are in the last days, and we feel it by way of UFO phenomenon. We see it by way of the pedophile ring and all the things that are going on. Did you ever think you would live in a day and time when pedophilia, a pedophile cabal, both in Hollywood, Washington, and around the world, is not something that is relegated to a conspiracy theory, but is mainstream news? Mainstream news now has embraced, at least to some degree, the reality that it is out there. We even have certain congressmen that are saying that there are orgies and all kinds of wild and sick things going on in Washington, things we already knew, by the way, but now it's coming to light. We are in the last days and we can feel it. We can feel it in the global conspiracy known as the Great Reset. Klaus Schwab and all of his ilk are running around trying, I believe, to set up a grid, a network that will ultimately bring in the son of perdition. We can see that we're in the last days, I think, as well, because of the vile sexual perversion that is taking place. Much like Sodom and Gomorrah, much like the collapse of Rome, we see that child genital mutilation is perfectly okay. I've mentioned before, I remember reading the book of Genesis and the story of Lot, and wondering, questioning, how in the world could Lot give his daughters away in such an awful, ugly way? Well, we see parents doing that now. We see them handing their children over to drag queens, handing their children over to psychologists that tell them that they have gender confusion, handing their kids over in the most vile and despicable ways. And so I'm saying all this to say that you know and I know, whether we can always articulate it in the perfect way or not, we feel it, do we not? We feel that we are in the last days. And I submit to you that we are in the last days for certain. However, it is important to identify, as I previously mentioned, which last days we are actually in. It is important that we not just make general statements, but that our doctrine conforms, or rather we conform, to biblical doctrine. The fact of the matter is, if you don't have the right doctrine, it's going to go throw a lot of things out of whack. It's going to throw a lot of your perceptions out of whack, a lot of your interpretations about what's going on. For instance, several years ago, and maybe even popular now, are books about the Harbinger and the blood moons and all of those things. Well, those are not things that you and I need to even be concerned about in our last days. They are things that you should be concerned about in someone else's last days. I'll explain that in just a moment. But I said that to say that doctrine matters, and we need to not just know that we're in the last days, but we need to know which last days we are actually in. And that brings us to the real meat of the subject that we're going to be talking about, the last days. On the board behind me, I have a timeline. The timeline technically starts here with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you have the cross and the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. And not long after that, in the book of Acts, you have what begins, we'll just call for the sake of our discussion today, the church age. That church age now has run for about 2,000 years, and then you come to the rapture of the New Testament church. Now, mind you, it's become very, very popular today to deny the doctrine of the rapture and to say that the church is going to have to go through the tribulation period. That is not correct doctrine. There are actually two raptures, one here for the church, and we'll see in a little bit one here for the Jewish remnant during the tribulation. But the timeline continues down. The church gets raptured out, and that kicks off the time of sorrows. And this timeline runs right into the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, known as the Great Tribulation. Not long after that, right at the very end, will be the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here at the rapture, we go to Him. Here at the revelation, He returns to this earth. That is when you have the Battle of Armageddon, the great battle between Christ and His enemies there in the Valley of Megiddo. And then afterward is when He establishes that 1,000-year millennial kingdom, and then eventually a new heaven, a new earth, and the eternal kingdom. Now, when we talk about the last days, we need to be very precise and understand. One of the fundamental issues that causes confusion, mind you, about the rapture, and causes confusion about much of the timeline in the Bible, is the inability to differentiate between Israel and the church. One of the most important doctrines that you can understand is that Israel and the church, or the body of Christ, are two distinct, different bodies. They may be part of the same household of God, but they are totally different, with a different plan, a different purpose, and a different outcome for each of them. And because each of them are different, the church and Israel, each of them have a separate last days. And that's where the confusion comes in. Much of what's happening today, as by way of confusion, is because we have taken the last days of Israel and run them back into the last days of the church. And in some ways, we have taken the last days of the church and actually forgotten about them, and we have lost insight and truth into what's going on. So let's talk for a few moments first about the Jewish last days, and then we're going to talk about the church last days and what we should be expecting. Now, what do I mean by the Jewish last days or the last days of Israel? Well, the Bible says in the book of Genesis in chapter number 49 that Jacob was prophesying. And he says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Now, did you get that? Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, he said right before he died, "I'm going to prophesy and tell you, the children of Israel, what will befall you in the last days." And follow me along this line here for just a few minutes, and then we'll come to the church. Genesis chapter number 49, verse 1, way back here in time, Jacob said, "I will tell you what shall befall you in the last days." The last days for the children of Israel begin here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as their Messiah, who was promised to come, did come. We know his name as Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. He came and, in essence, first presented the kingdom of heaven to the children of Israel. You know many of you the story, how that he preached and taught and healed the sick and cleansed the lepers, gave sight to blinded eyes, hearing to deaf ears. It was an amazing 3.5 years. And yet, the children of Israel in these last days rejected their Messiah. They rejected him, and so we have the story of Calvary. Of course, all planned in the predetermined counsel of God. Here at Calvary, Jesus Christ died not just for the nation of Israel, but for the sins of the whole world. He rose again the third day, and he did not just immediately ascend back up into heaven. The last days of the Messiah included the cross, included the resurrection, and included a resurrected Savior or a resurrected Messiah's offer to Israel. In other words, the children of Israel had two more distinct opportunities to receive their Messiah and to fulfill the messianic promises. That's why in Acts chapter number 2, if you read the message that Peter preaches, you do not have a salvation by grace message there. You have a messianic message to the children of Israel. That's why Peter, when he preached, talked about the prophecies of Joel, the signs that were coming, because they were still in these last days. The first part of the last days was the Messiah offering and then suffering and dying. The second part of the last days was a resurrected Messiah offered to the Jews by Peter, and then once again offered to the Jews by Stephen. Stephen, the first martyr. After Jesus Christ had been ascended, still these last days could be fulfilled had the nation of Israel embraced their Messiah. But they did not. The book of Acts, as you well know, is a transition book, transitioning out of the last days of the nation of Israel and into the church age. What happened here, ladies and gentlemen, is that these last days that were prophesied by God, they came to a pause here. When Israel rejected their Messiah, the process of these last days was paused. And what we have is called a parenthetical time period or a parenthetical dispensation. And that is the church age. You see Peter, James, all of them begin to move off the scene. And the apostle of the church comes full well into view. His name's the Apostle Paul. And for 2,000 years, it has not been repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That was part of this last day. For 2,000 years, it is, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That message has gone around the world. It has gone to just about every continent that there is. The gospel has been preached. And for 2,000 years, this economy that God had set up with the children of Israel has been put on hold. These last days have almost frozen in time. as God has been dealing with the church. Now, the church is composed, as you know, of both Jew and Gentile. And for 2,000 years, it has been forming while this plan here of the last days of the Jews has been on hold. But we as a church have our own last days. You can clearly see that stated in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, where the Apostle Paul writes, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then he begins to list, not signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are for the last days of the Jews. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the Jews require a sign, not the Gentiles. Paul said that in the last days perilous times shall come, and he does not give any signs, no blood moons, no antichrist, no harbinger, none of those kind of things. He gives a set of behaviors. Very important. The last days of the church are marked by a set of behaviors. Not earthquakes in diverse places, that's the last days of the Jews. Not the heavens and wonders, that's the last days of the Jews. Not any of those things that are popular so very often today. What he gives is a criteria or a set of behavior in the last days. Now, when the church is raptured out, that is when God picks up again with the last days of the children of Israel. That first 3.5 years there where Christ was, you come to the great tribulation, and that second 3.5 years, those are the last days. And that's why when you get out of the Pauline epistles, you immediately come to the very first book of the tribulation epistles by the name of Hebrews. And what do you think Hebrews says? The first book of the tribulation actually states, and Hebrews says, "He hath spoken unto us in these last days." What you have is the Jewish last days put on hold here when they rejected Jesus and Christ ascended back up. And this began the new plan, the church age, the body of Christ, as fulfilled by the teaching and preaching of Paul. Our last days will end with the rapture, and we'll talk in just a moment about these behaviors and some of the types of the things that we see coming. Once we're raptured out, the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, those are the last days of the Jews. This is when the sky will be darkened. This is when the Antichrist, the man of sin, will be revealed. This is when there will be earthquakes in diverse places and wars and rumors of wars. All of these things, these last days signs, they are coming to pass, but not now. Their primary will be here in the tribulation period. And so what you have are the Jewish last days, the last days before the crucifixion, the last days after the crucifixion. They rejected him and were put on hold. And now 2,000 years later, when we're raptured out, you have the last days of the great tribulation, in which all of these things that we see and read about and are so bombastic in prophecy, they come to pass. Now what happens is, because we mix up these last days of the Great Tribulation with the last days of the church, that's where we get a lot of confusion in there. That's where we get people running around looking for signs and wonders. That's where we get guys like Harold Camping years ago making predictions and then failing and making predictions and then failing and all of those things. That's where we get people running around going, this person is the Antichrist or that person is the Antichrist or here or there. All of those things are valid. They're not necessarily incorrect. They're just out of time. Our last days as a church are different than the last days of the Great Tribulation period. Now, that brings us to think for just a moment about the key truth that is important. What are we facing in the last days? Now, if you want to know what to face in the last days of the tribulation period, you need to go read the book of Revelation. You need to read Isaiah, Ezekiel. Those things are there, and they are powerful and amazing. And they are foreshadowed here many times in the last days of the church. But what specifically are we facing ahead? I suppose that's one of the biggest questions that I get more than anything. We're in the last days. What's going to happen? One of the reasons why a lot of people got confused over the, how can I say this without getting banned on YouTube, over the popular, recent popular medical procedures that everybody had to have.
Get vaccinated.
Was that the mark of the beast? It's because they were thinking of the last days here. Now, no doubt what we just went through was a type or a foreshadowing, but it's not the same. I actually had some people get mad because they believed with all their heart that that was the mark of the beast, but it could not be, because in the last days of the Jews is the mark of the beast, not the last days of the church. So the question then is, what are we as a church going to face in the last days? Well, some of it's probably going to be surprising. I'm going to speculate a little bit, but I'm going off of 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and Revelation chapter number 3. And I'm going to state that it's going to be, in the very last days, profound wealth, opulence, and corruption by money. The last church is the Church of the Laodiceans. And you'll notice that there is no persecution there. Other churches in that time period are persecuted. And remember now, even though doctrinally speaking, the seven churches of Revelation fit here in the tribulation, devotionally speaking and historically, they show us the church age. Other churches in the church ages had persecution. Even the church at Philadelphia had to stand against the synagogue of Satan, but not the Laodicean church. It had absolutely no problems whatsoever. Its main problem was a spiritual problem. Otherwise, it was wealthy and rich and opulent and had need of nothing. And when Christ reproved them, he did not say that they didn't have physical needs. He said they were missing their spiritual needs. I submit to you that the years ahead for the church prior to the beginning of the collapse is going to be money, power, prestige. We're going to have the problem of being corrupted by our wealth. That is one of the marks of the last days. And it's going to be very, very hard to communicate to Christians and to get them to be awake, because they're going to look around at their buildings, they're going to look around at their sound systems, they're going to look around at their lighting, they're going to look around at their travel and their conferences and their singing and their microphones and their video equipment, their buildings, their colleges, and they're going to go, how can we not be blessed of God? How can we not be prosperous? And what they won't realize is that where Satan has failed with carnage, he has been successful with corruption and compromise. So the last days of the church are going to be marked by corruption by wealth. The second thing is, the last days of the church are going to be marked with an unprecedented amount of false converts. An unprecedented amount of false converts. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that they will have the form of God, but deny the power thereof. And we have that today. Probably the largest unreached group of lost people in the United States of America are either in the inner cities or in our churches. Men and women that are religious. They go once a week, once a month, twice a month, Mother's Day, Christmas, Easter. They put a little money in the plate. They carry a Bible. They do their devotional. They have their Dwell Deep apps on their phone, but they have not been converted. They do not know the power of the gospel. Paul said in the last days, that's what's going to happen. And the fact of the matter is, you that are watching that are Christians, you know many people who claim to be Christian and yet they have no power. Try witnessing to them and see what happens. It's almost easier to witness to an atheist than it is an end time false convert. The other thing that happens is apostasy. Apostasy. Paul says that they will reject the truth, and we're seeing that today. Apostasy is different than heresy. Apostasy is not getting something wrong. Apostasy is knowing the truth and turning away from it. And we're seeing that. You can see that with the Southern Baptist Convention. You can see that with the Episcopal Church, where, mind you, once George Whitefield and Wesley came out from, now you see them rejecting the truth, turning wholesale towards homosexuality, wokeism, all the rest of it. The other thing that you're going to see is deception. Paul said in 2 Timothy that they will be deceived and deceiving, and you will see this veil of deception come over. Now, the great delusion will happen here in these last days. But what we are seeing in our last days is a type of that delusion, the great deception. There is a profound deception afoot, and it is hard to wake people out of that. And then I would submit to you that one of the things we're going to see is angelic activity. Now, here is where prophecy takes a turn for the surreal. The Bible says, as in the days of Noah, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. We know that in the days of Noah, the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. And I submit to you that it is very possible that before we go out in the rapture, we encounter angelic beings from the sky. Now, I don't believe that they will descend from the heavens with wings and white togas. I think they'll look more like a highly advanced, technological, evolved version of us. But I do believe that Paul warned us about that in our last days, not just being warned about it here. Paul wrote two particular books that were highly, highly important. One was the book of Galatians, a defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he begins his book by saying, though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. It's interesting. What is he doing when he says that? Is it hyperbole? Is it just an example by extremes, I or an angel? Or is that a prophetic warning? Is he saying to the church in the last days, the remnant, though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel? We know that during the tribulation period, there will be angels that are in charge of the churches. The Bible writes to the angel of Ephesus, to the angel of Smyrna, to the angel of the church of Thyatira. Those are not messengers, or he would have used the word messengers. Those are angelic beings. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, a tribulation book, they are warned to make sure that they entertain strangers because they may be entertaining angels unaware. Where did those angels come from during this time? Could it be that they were around prior to? Could it be that the church's last great deception, its last great battle, will begin very similar to what its first great victory did? At its first great victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there were angels that announced the glory of a resurrected Savior. He is not here, he is risen. Could it be that at the end of this time period, there are angels that are announcing something very similar, though wrong and sinful? We're told in Galatians that the angels are not to preach any other gospel. We're also told in the end time book of Colossians and warned about the worshiping of angels and being involved with angels. Now, what's fascinating about the book of Colossians is that Colossians is an end time book. It's the only one of Paul's epistles that mentions Laodicea. It connects it with the end time of the church age. And we are told in Colossians to be very, very careful about angels. Paul also mentions that in 1 Corinthians about women and angels. In other words, when you read the Pauline epistles, there's a lot more in there about angels than we tend to think. What happened? What's going on? I submit to you that in the last days of the New Testament church, the veil that has thinned for so long will be torn open, and we may be very well more of a remnant than we could possibly imagine. As beings from the stars come down, delivering what they call is the message from God, and what the entire world will embrace, and what you and I will say, no, that's not true. Why? Though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, Paul said, let him be accursed. These are the things that are going to happen at the end time. Lastly, I would submit to you that at the beginning of the church age, here in the book of Acts, Jerusalem was the hub of religious worship. Now, don't forget that on the day of Pentecost, the great message that saw 3,000 people saved, preached by Peter, was preached at Jerusalem. There were men, no doubt, from all over the region, but it was predominantly preached at Jerusalem. But it didn't take very long before Jerusalem lost its place as the religious hub and was rejected. In AD 70 is when Titus, the general from Rome, leveled the city of Jerusalem, and that began the great dispersa, for the children of Israel were cast out. And that religious hub transferred sometime down the road, I believe, to England, where we have absolute truth from the Word of God, and then ultimately from England to the United States of America. And in the short, brief historical time period of England and America, more gospel, more power, more truth, more articles, more colleges, more seminaries, more hospitals, more of the gospel has gone around the world from the religious hub of the Anglo-Saxon connection with America and Britain than at any other time in history. However, just as our dispensation began with the rejection of Jerusalem for a new Gentile nation coming that would produce the great gospel age, I believe it will close with the rejection of the great Gentile nations and a reestablishment of Jerusalem as the hub. And we are seeing that. We saw that in 1917 with the Balfour Act. We saw that in 1948 with the establishment of an independent Jewish nation. We saw that in 1967 with the Six-Day War. We saw that in 1974 with the War of Yom Kippur. And we saw that most recently when Donald Trump signed the Abraham Accords and moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to the city of Jerusalem. The United States of America, arguably the central place for worship and honor before God as a Gentile nation in all the world, now establishes its embassy in Jerusalem. And I believe that what you'll see is maybe not a global collapse, but you will see a regional collapse. Just as Jerusalem was leveled, though at one time was the place of God's witness and word and worship, so it may be that the city shining on a hill, the United States of America, will lose its place as well, as God turns his attention back to Jerusalem. And the last days of the church will witness not necessarily a global catastrophe, but a regional catastrophe. For Peter says, judgment must begin at the house of God. To whom much is given, much shall be required, the Bible says. So, as we stop for a minute and pause and recap, what are we looking at? Here's the thing. Are we in the last days? Absolutely we are. But what last days? Well, we're not in these or we'd be dead. But we are not in these, not yet. We are in the last days of the church. The last days of the church are typified by behavior, not signs and wonders. This behavior is going to grow. And what that leads us down the road is that as a Bible-believing Christian, you are going to be more and more and more in the minority. Not just the minority in the world, we've always been that, but the minority among mainstream Christianity. But that's okay. We were told that, warned about that. Just don't get caught up looking for signs and wonders. You get called up looking for a Savior. And if you're looking for a Savior, you will be called up. Pun intended. The last days, are we in them? Absolutely. Not the Jewish last days, but the last days of the church. Is it tragic? A little. Sad? Some. Scary? Sometimes. Exciting? You betcha. Because Jesus is coming for his church, and we'll soon be with him. I hope this study helps you out just a little bit. If you're not a Christian, study the Bible, seek the Word of God, reach out to us here at the Soul Trap anytime. We want to talk to you and encourage you. If you are a Christian, study your Bible, hand out gospel tracts, and be looking for the appearing of our great God and Savior. Don't be looking for blood moons that have nothing to do with you.
Last days, perilous times shall come.